With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball. Got a great guest on this podcast. So as we creep closer to college basketball season, we have a lot of interesting stories. And if you have one, or if you are one, hit me in the DMs, dude. I'm on X all the time. And when I say X, you know, it's Twitter, whatever. Anyway, my guest in this All Ball is Mike O'Connell. Now you're like, who's that? How do I know that name? Well, there's lots of people with that name. This one in particular was an absolute superstar. Michael O'Connell was as a lacrosse player. In fact, his brother played lacrosse at Maryland. He committed as an eighth grader to playing lacrosse at Maryland. How did he become the starting point guard of Stanford? And oh yeah, by the way, how did he end up at NC State? It's all part of this week's All Ball. Take a listen. Okay, so obviously athletic family, right? You grew up in where in New York?
Long Island, New York.
Okay, so Long Island is home to a lot of things, but it is the lacrosse mecca of the universe. Is that accurate?
You know what? I'd be confident in saying that. We got a lot of great players that have come out and went to college and done some great things. So I'll take pride in that one, yeah.
Okay, so like you're growing up, you're, I don't know, 12 years old. 12-year-old Michael Connell, what is your sports calendar like in terms of what sports you're playing?
12 years old, I mean, I was involved in a lot of sports. I was playing basketball, football, lacrosse, baseball, soccer. I even wrestled for a little bit. So, I mean, day to day, I was pretty busy with either different workouts, practices, and on the weekends, just going back and forth from playing, you know, two lacrosse games in the morning to two basketball games in the afternoon, or all just constant sports and constant chaos in a sense. But
no question,
you know, it's great. Yeah, and it's helped me develop all my skills to this day. So,
when did you cut it down? When did you start to kind of specialize?
Yeah, I think high school. I cut it down to the three sports: basketball, football, and lacrosse, and just kind of focused on those because they were all different seasons. For school at least. So I mainly focused on those two. And then after my sophomore year, I focused more on just basketball and lacrosse to finish out high school.
What's lacrosse's club season like? Or what's club lacrosse like?
Club lacrosse is all year round. There is really no like off season in a sense. Because even in the winter, you're training constantly. That's when a lot of the practices are, and there's a lot of indoor stuff and there's more individual training. But fall, you got a few tournaments. Spring, you have a lot of tournaments, and then even the summer, you're going to different tournaments and showcases and things like that. So it's definitely an all around year sport.
What position in football?
Football is quarterback.
Yeah, so you're quarterback, yeah. Point guard, and then what position did you play in lacrosse?
I was a midfielder for lacrosse.
Okay. So, and is that like the most glamorous position, like quarterback and point guard is?
It depends who you ask, but I'd probably say attack is a little more of that because you're more of a goal scorer. Midfield, yeah. You're playing more offense and defense. And so it depends who you're asking, but probably attack is a little more of the glamorous, like highlights, assists, and goal scoring.
Okay. So what were you actually best at? Were you better at lacrosse than at basketball, or were you better at basketball than lacrosse?
That's a tough question. I don't really know. I mean, it's such a different pool of players. It's hard to really compare and where I was at, but maybe basketball, I would say I was definitely better at. There's just a lot more people playing basketball, so it's a lot more competitive. But I'll go with I was a little better at basketball.
Again, and maybe this is just, you know, having lived in Connecticut and known a little bit about the lacrosse game, like it does feel like locally it would be, you know, it would be kind of, you know, nationally, obviously more guys play basketball, but locally, you know, feels like that's super, super high level. Right.
And I don't, 100%.
Okay. But what was more fun to play?
That's another tough question. I mean, they're such close. I mean, they have their differences, but they're such close games that they're, I mean, I love playing both. I mean, I wish I could have played both in college. That would have been a great thing to do. I mean, it was hard to give up lacrosse, but I don't know if I can really pinpoint which one is more fun to play. That's really a tough question.
Okay. So could you, like, you originally committed to Maryland to play lacrosse. When was that?
I committed, it was the summer going into freshman year of high school. So I was committed a little after eighth grade.
You're an eighth grader and you commit to Maryland lacrosse where your brother played.
Yep.
So what was that process like?
Yeah, that was just the, like, kind of the culture of lacrosse at the time before they changed the rule to now. I think it's, they can't contact you until like the June 1st to junior year or something like that. But I mean, that was just the reality of it, that, you know, at all of your tournaments, seventh grade, they were watching you, eighth grade, they were watching a lot more, because that summer going into high school, a lot of people started to, you know, get recruited heavy, and then they started to have offers thrown out towards them. So it was definitely interesting, because I mean, I knew where I was going to college too, as I was figuring out where I was going to high school. So it was definitely something that, it was great. I can't complain. I was committed to one of the best, if not the best, lacrosse schools in the nation at the time. So it was a great feeling for sure.
Take me through the process of deciding on a high school. What was that like?
It was definitely tough, but the local private school was Chaminade High School, and it's 5 minutes from my house. My brother went there, and they have great lacrosse. They're known for great lacrosse. And then the basketball program was pretty good too. So, and then I know the coaching staff there, obviously through my brother, and it felt like the right fit. Good education, good basketball, great lacrosse. So it just felt like the right situation, right fit, especially being that close to my house.
So when you're like a high school freshman and you're committed to Maryland lacrosse, did you have a target on your back when you're playing early in high school?
I would say a little bit. You know, guys are definitely gunning for you, trying to prove themselves that if this guy's committed to Maryland, I should be committed to a school, or committed to Maryland too, something like that. But I think also the kids I was playing in high school with were also on my travel team growing up, and they were also getting a lot of looks, and some of them were even, they were even going on their visits and getting committed a little bit after. So it wasn't too much of that, but you definitely seen when you went to like the tournaments and showcases that kids had a little more of an edge towards you when they were playing you.
So when did you decide, hey, maybe I don't want to play lacrosse in college?
Yeah, I don't know if it was ever I don't want to play. It was just the opportunity for basketball, and that kind of came late after. I mean, probably it was COVID. It was like the COVID summer when it first hit. I just graduated. Or I was in the midst of graduating, and there was everything going on. They had the kids were getting the extra year of eligibility. So the freshman class was getting an extra year coming back. There was a new class coming in, especially for lacrosse. So there was going to be lots of people. I mean, it was going to be, the teams were going to be, usually they're like 50, 60 guys now. They're going to be close to like 70 and up. So it was an interesting decision. At the time, there's a lot going on, especially during COVID, but I got the opportunity to, the coach reached out to my high school coach from Stanford, and I had the opportunity to play college basketball, and especially at, you know, one of the top universities in the country and maybe even the world. So it's kind of hard to pass up on that, especially, as sad to say, it's, sports do end at one point, but your education and your relationships last forever. So
why go to Blair? Because you mentioned Chaminade, right down the street, but then you go to Blair. Why?
I mean, just the opportunity there for basketball and lacrosse. It was just felt right.
It was better
at the time. Yeah, at the time it was a good opportunity for me. I know my coaches from Mashama were pretty, they were kind of pushing me to kind of go that way too.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, they were super supportive. I mean, I'm still close to them till this day. I talk to them all the time. I was actually just texting both of them yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago. So, I mean, they've been super great through everything there. And they were super helpful and positive towards me making the jump and taking that next step towards Blair. And then I'm super grateful for that opportunity for basketball, lacrosse, and then just the relationships I've built to this day.
So you're in Jersey. Mm-hmm. You're 2 weeks into your lacrosse season. Yep. Right? Just get down with hoops. And what do you remember? I'll give you my personal and then you can take me through yours. So I was the day before I had guest hosted Colin Cowherd's show.
Good.
And I remember walking out to it's on the Fox lot, it's a big like TV set. And I remember walking out and one of the guys is like, he's kind of an executive, but he's really the connector between the executives and the shows. And I was like, you know, I kind of think we need to talk about this coronavirus thing. He's like, dude, we're a sports show. Like, people don't want bad news. I was like, yeah, but I don't know. Like, everybody's saying it's going to start to affect sports at some point. He's like, well, when that happens, we'll talk about it. Right. Yeah. I walk out there. And then that night was the Rudy Gobert thing. Right. And then the game got canceled. Mm-hmm. The night before was the Rudy Gobert thing, whatever, with the microphone. And then and then the game gets canceled. And then I'm driving to LAX. And this is like all time, I'm a dumbass type of thing, where I'm driving and I get a text from my boss because I'm going to cover the Big Ten tournament. And it says, turn around. And I thought my boss was behind me in the car behind me. So I'm like, where are you? Like, no, Big Ten tournament's been canceled. Like, no, I was just watching the Big East tournament first half, you know, because they played one half of a game.
St. John's game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at that game.
Right, because your dad went to St. John's, right?
Yeah, my brother was actually, yeah, he was a part of the team at the time.
Oh, okay. So I mean, it's the craziest shit ever. Yeah. All right. So where were you when things started to shut down?
I mean, I guess that's a perfect example. I was at that St. John's game. I forgot who they were playing. But I remember I went up to get like snacks and like a drink at halftime. And as we're about to come down, they just said, game's canceled. Got to go home. And we were just like, what? And then the whole place, everyone had to leave. And I just went home and then everything began to really shut down from there, from all the sports seasons and the tournaments and stuff like that. Then it was just wild because it just like everything just stopped. And everything just ended like that.
Did you go to Blair to get your stuff? Did you just stay home? Like, what'd you do?
So I was home for a little bit. They wouldn't let anyone on campus. I was able to go, I think, like a month and a half later. I had to make sure, obviously, I was wearing a mask. I was away from everyone and kind of just went in, cleared out my stuff, and then just left. That was it.
So what did you do? What were you doing during your days when things were shut down?
I was mostly just in my driveway. I had a hoop in my driveway, so I would just be like outside shooting. I'd go in my backyard and like work out with my brother. That was kind of the things we had to do, you know. I mean, playing games aside, like card games or video games with each other. Like, there was not a lot to do. But at the same time, I was also trying to figure out my next move for college. And that's when obviously I committed to Stanford. And then
So who reached out? Who called you first?
Reached out to me was Adam Cohen. He's currently coaching at Xavier right now. He reached out and he was like, hey man, we're super interested. Love to like build a connection and start talking more. And then that was like the first call initially. And then we began to call, I think every 2 days, something like that. He was just checking in, talking about, I want to get on a whole Zoom call with the whole coaching staff, get you on a call with Coach Haas. And then, because I couldn't go on a visit, that was a tough thing because obviously you weren't allowed to like really travel like that.
Right.
So I had to do like a Zoom visit, FaceTime, showing me around campus. And then I committed and then I was going out there, I think early August.
So you get out there early August, but things are still, and it's Northern California, it's still kind of shut down. What was that first year experience like on the farm?
Yeah, it was interesting. I first got out there. I went a little early too, just to kind of get a better feel for everything, even though it was shut down. And two of my other freshman classmates at the time, one was already out there, one was coming out there with me, but we were in a hotel right next to campus. We're not to see each other. We weren't really allowed to hang out. We can grab food, but it had to be outside if we're eating together. And we were doing workouts and we were doing weights because you were allowed to at the time if it was outdoors. So we were on like random outdoor courts on campus that were like, some of them were slanted, some of the rims were tilted, like getting shots up. And then the team finally came, the full team, and then we did the same thing, but we were actually practicing on tennis courts outdoors. They brought the hoops out on the tennis courts. So it would be in the early mornings before it got really hot, and then later at night we'd do like workouts. And that was pretty much our whole like preseason and like fall ball.
What was the school experience like at Stanford during that first year?
I mean, it's not what you expect, obviously, of being a freshman in college, because everything was online. No one was on campus really, besides the athletes that were there, people that like worked at the university. So it almost seemed like a ghost town a lot of the year, until the springtime when people were allowed back on campus. So then it started to fill up a little bit, but not too much. But it was, I mean, it's just like a ghost town is the best way to explain it, because no one's there. It's a huge campus and just like no one walking around or no one driving around.
Right. And it's a beautiful campus and super cool, especially when everybody's there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So then fast forward to your second year. And then what's that like when all of a sudden you're at the same place, but now it's actually populated?
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, it's a beautiful campus, beautiful area. And now you get to see more and have that more of a feel of like college life, where you're walking around, seeing people, meeting people in class, you're sitting next to people, introducing yourself, kind of building those relationships, which is like one of the good things about college. You know, it's great and all to play, obviously play basketball and get an education, but you love to meet people, you love to build those relationships and have that like human interaction, which was nice after a year of just being quarantined in your room all day.
Was there ever a point where you're like, man, I should play lacrosse?
No. I mean, listen, I was super grateful. I'm playing a college sport at a university where I'm getting a great education. So it's kind of hard to be like down on myself during COVID. I mean, I was looking at the upside of it is, you know, I had this opportunity that not a lot of people are going to have. So I'm just going to make the most of it, even if that's a little bit right now.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
You mentioned the education piece, and it's interesting because that's always something that drove me And I do think it's a huge, but in this era of college athletics, it's never been focused on by some people. It really feels like it gets minimized, but you live the reality to it, right? In reality, what percentage, like Stanford feels like a place where most of those guys are in it for, they want to hoop, maybe make some money playing hoop, but also the education and connections piece is important. Mm-hmm. What's the reality to it when you're at Stanford in terms of valuing that education piece?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it right in the head. It's people are there because they love basketball, but at the same time, they realize basketball is not going to last forever, and they want to be as best prepared as they can be for the future. And I mean, there's so many different like avenues you can go in terms of like majors and stuff like that. If it's finance or economics or computer science, stuff like that. So the guys coming in were interested in those things, and this was a great school that had that to offer while also playing Power Five basketball at the highest level. So you're surrounded by people that love that and want to be a part of that, even if it's really tough at times to balance those lifestyles, but you're surrounded by people that want to do that. So it makes it a little easier when you're in it.
Once you guys went back on campus, what percentage of your classes were in person? What percentage were online when you're at Stanford?
I think once they established we were back on campus, obviously 90% of the classes were in person. We just had to make sure a lot of people had us like more spaced out, or you were like wearing masks in class, like the typical things you had to do. But they tried to make sure like you were getting that real experience and everything you were paying for, in the sense that you're going to be in class, there's a professor in front of you in a lecture hall taking notes, kind of thing like that. So
you, in terms of prioritizing time and academics, what's it like? Because I bring it up because there's a lot of college basketball players, and I'm sure now at NC State, where those dudes that ever step on campus, right? It's all online. So you can go to the academic center, or you can do it from your dorm or from your apartment, and you can fit in your day, and then you can have your workouts and your practice and all that other stuff. But at Stanford, and this is, I think, the big challenge to Stanford, Northwestern, Duke, Notre Dame, like, hey man, we're doing real classes. We got real homework. You got to really, how did you prioritize your time? What was a day like?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of your, obviously your schoolwork and classwork was going to be based around basketball and your schedule. So once the coaches establish what you're going to be doing for, you know, the weight room conditioning wise, and then obviously on the court stuff or even film, then you were able to enroll in classes, figure out around that schedule, what you can take, what you couldn't, but your days were pretty much basketball and school. Social life was minimized in a sense. Like you definitely still had some, but it wasn't easy to really have a big social life if you wanted to excel on the court and in the classroom. You know, you got to give up something a little bit, and that was kind of what a lot of us had to do. For like right now, it might not be what you want to do, but in the long run, it's the best option. So like you're waking up, going to practice early in the morning, then you're going to class, then you're getting food, and then in between your next lift or workout, you're doing homework, or you're, you know, studying for your exam, going to your lift or workout, leave it, doing more work. I mean, it was just a constant back and forth between, you know, basketball and education.
Had you ever been on a team that lost before?
No, not that I can say, so no.
What's that like?
I mean, obviously it's not ideal. It's not what you want. I mean, everyone wants to win, and that's what you're there to do, is just, you know, win games and play your best game. But at the same time, you got to realize it's not like you're playing at a local, you know, in a local gym. You're playing at the
dude. I understand, but like I had never lost before. Yeah. I went to Notre Dame my freshman year, and you know, we end up tied for last in the new Big East, our first year in the Big East. You know, we're well below 500. I think we're like 9-18 or something. I mean, it was rough. And I, again, like you come from, I mean, like all of us come from high school programs where you're losing two or three, four, you know, max seven or eight games in a year. Emotionally, what was that like for you as the team's point guard, especially?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely take a lot of ownership for it. I mean, as like the team point guard and leader out there, you know, you take a lot of you carry a lot of that weight on your shoulders when you're trying to get your team to win and over that hump of, you know, you might lose two games in a row, but the thing is you can't really let it affect your next play and your next game. If I sit there and just sulk and be like, woe is me, you know, life's hard, we lost two games, then we're never winning another game, especially if I'm the point guard and the leader on the team. So especially being in that position, I got to be the one who's, you know, more confident. I got to be uplifting guys when they're down. Like I got to not worry about myself that much. I got to worry about the rest of the team and everyone else, in the sense of if I just sit there and focus on myself, other guys are going to do the same thing and we're just going to collapse. But I had to make sure, even when tough times, I'm looking out towards the other guys that, hey man, you're good. Let's get the next one. Hey, we lost this game. Let's bounce back, and kind of being a leader in that sense and just helping lead guys through the darkness.
What is the best thing about playing for Stanford?
I mean, there's a lot of great things, but I would say just the chemistry we had. I think, I don't know if I played on a lot of teams that had chemistry close to it or like it. We just knew exactly what each other liked to do, where we'd want to get shots. We played well together. We communicated extremely well. No one ever took anything personal. No one was like, if I was yelling at him to, you know, next time cut back door or something, like, no one took stuff personal. We knew where we were coming from, and it was coming from a place that we all wanted to win. And we needed to work together to achieve that. So I think our chemistry and the way we communicated was one of the best things we had on the court.
So you graduated what, in the spring?
Yes.
Okay. So you graduate and you got a world of possibilities, right? I'm sure you can go and get a job. You could probably go and continue playing somewhere overseas and start making some cash. You go to do lacrosse. Okay. Or you can go play basketball. Take me through the process of how you decide to keep playing basketball.
Yeah, I guess just like I said before, one day it ends, and it's hard to know that when I still got gas in the tank that I'd just be walking away from it.
So who'd you lose to last year in the Pac-12 tournament?
Arizona.
Okay, so you lose to Arizona. Yeah. Game's over, right? Like, in your mind at that point, what's your thought process on, other than I got to get back home, right? Whatever, like what were you actually thinking?
I don't know if there was one specific memory. I guess it was just the fact that, you know, we got to keep working and just get better. I mean, there's nothing really.
I know, but you could have gone back, right?
Yeah.
Could have gone back. Okay. You could, again, lacrosse, whatever. Like, are you thinking like, dude, I got to get out of here. I got to try something different. Were you thinking, maybe I'll do lacrosse? Were you thinking, maybe I'll take some time off? Like, what were you really thinking?
Oh, no. At the moment, it was more just like, we were so close, like towards the end, like, we got to get better. That was it. I mean, there was no thought like outside of Stanford or basketball. I mean, it was, you know, we struggled throughout the year, and no one ever wants to do that. You know, we won the first game. We're like close game with Arizona. We obviously beat them during the year, and I just took onus that like I need to get better personally for us not to have this feeling again this early in the season.
So okay, so then what made you make the decision to put yourself in the portal?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things was I had the chance to graduate, and then just, you know, taking that next step, coming a little closer to home. I've been on the other coast for 3 years, haven't really seen my family much, haven't seen friends really at all. I think that was just, you know, the opportunity for that. It's tough to have, you know. It's great to have one of my last year or two that if I can have people I know and care about closer to me and at my games, something great. And then just a new opportunity.
So did you do an actual visit this time, or did you do another Zoom?
No, I did an actual visit. I came out, I don't remember the exact date, but I came to campus on like a Friday morning, stayed through the weekend, and it felt right. You know, everything from the play style, the coaching, the facilities, the campus, it felt like the right fit for me.
Yeah, but there's no, like, you're talking polar opposites, right? I mean, you go from the farm, which is beautiful, isolated, private Northern California, to state school, middle of a big city, right? Down the road from Duke, which is a lot more like a Stanford, right? And everything is different. What's that adjustment like, considering it's so different, even though it's in the same sport at the same level?
I mean, you just got to, and like just embracing where you are, you know, it's not comparing, like really comparing the campuses. I feel like if I get caught up in comparing, oh, this Stanford, this campus is better than this, and this, or this program is better than this, like you fall into that like cycle of just negative thoughts. But just being like grateful for where I am, in the sense of like, well, I'm at a new opportunity, state school, big, like more kids on campus, you know, bigger camaraderie around sports and things like that. So it was just being grateful for where I am at the moment.
Okay. What's it like team wise? What's that group like? Because also different from Stanford is now you have a lot of guys that are, you know, moving in, moving out. Stanford, obviously there's not as much movement with the portal. What's that been like being a new guy, but also having other new guys around
you? Yeah, I think having a lot of new guys honestly has made it a little easier, because if you're coming to a team that already has 12 dudes that all know each other, have been hanging out for 2 or 3 years, you feel like the odd man out a little bit. But coming into a team where everyone's new, then from day one, you're almost forced into building relationships, because you're going to be asking questions about where guys are from, what their program is like, you know, what they're like, kind of thing. And since everyone's constantly doing that, because we have, I think, 8 new guys, it makes it a little easier, I think, honestly, than coming to a team that's already been established for a few years.
What's the most enjoyable part of NC State so far to you?
I think campus life has honestly been super nice, in the sense of the support around sports is, it feels a little bigger in the, from like the fan base and actual students. I think that's been really nice, where Stanford, we had pretty good support, but kids were a little more focused on, they were focused on like their school and their startups and stuff like that. Where
the Stanford, I know the Stanford thing is weird, because if you go back to when I was playing, that was the best basketball environment in the Pac-12. It really was. It was great. And overall, as you know, the Olympic sports are still an incredibly high level, but it just feels like everybody kind of does their own thing now. Right. Whereas now you're at a state school where it's all about state, all about the sports and people. Is that fair? You lived it. I'm just kind of an observer.
No, you're definitely right. I think like one of my roommates this past year at Stanford, he was working on a startup. So he came to, I think, maybe one game throughout the whole year, and he like would keep up to date with the box scores. But he's like, he's worrying about doing his startup, that he's like, I'm not going to go to a sports game. Which is, I mean, it's super bad.
What was his start? What was his startup?
I don't even remember. Something like private equity firms. He was trying to build like spreadsheets for them to make it much easier to organize everything. I think it's still in the works right now. But yeah, that's what a lot of kids are doing. So they're putting all their time and focus and emphasis on that. They're not going to come to games sometimes, where kids could be doing that here, but there's a lot more focus on like going to the games, you know, and stuff like that.
Okay, so a successful season for you looks like what?
Successful season for me is helping lead the team to March Madness. Haven't been there yet. It's been a dream of mine since I was a little kid. I don't care how I have to do it, but getting it there is going to be, that's successful season for me.
Okay. Have you thought of what it's going to be like to play at Cameron? You thought of what it's going to be like to play in Chapel Hill? Or here's another one, lacrosse guy. You thought it was, I don't know if you guys play at Syracuse this year, but in the dome as well.
I'm excited.
Like you got some, that's some big check marks in terms of places people would most want to play.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I'm super excited. These are the schools, especially being from the East Coast, you grew up watching, you know, I mean, everyone watches these big schools, but I'm saying, especially being from the East Coast, these games are on times you can watch them. So I'm excited for them. I can't wait to, you know, get in those environments and just get lost in the game and the place going nuts and all these different things. But I'm definitely excited for all of these, just to be at all these different, you know, places and programs and experience their environments.
NC State was a surprise team last year. What do you feel like your crew this year so far?
I think we can be really good. We have a lot of talent. A lot of the guys on the team can really score the ball, really make plays. We just got to make sure we consistently put it together. I think that's going to be our biggest thing. But we have a lot of talent. So obviously, like you said, I don't know the other schools, but I think we could be really good.
It does feel like for you, that's a better, this is a really good fit, right? Because it's not that you can't score, but what you do best is lead, defend, you know, you can make shots, but you can set everybody up and let and kind of be the guy that has no ego, right, about how you do it. And you have guys that have scores, egos, which you have to have, right? You still have to score points to win. But it feels like fit-wise, again, and I'm just looking at this roster from 30,000 feet, it feels like that role really fits what you can automatically bring, and you've already done it. Is that how it feels to you?
Yeah, 100%. I think that was, you know, one of the reasons I made the decision is we play a fast-flowing offense, high pick-and-roll ball screens, and go make a play. And I think that's one thing I've always been, or at least pride of myself in, is being able to make a play off that ball screen and make the right read, whether it's getting to my little shot or, you know, help side slides over, you're skipping the ball the opposite corner, all these different things. So yeah, I think it does. It is a good fit for me, I think, and I hope so.
Now you can play 2 years, right?
Yep, 2 years left.
Okay. Can you move again at the, what, like, what's the, would you have to get a graduate degree? What would it, I'm not chasing you at NC State, but what would the process be like so you wouldn't have to have file an appeal for next year?
Honestly, I don't know how it would work, because I mean, I'm not looking to leave, and I don't have any plans to leave. I don't even know like how that process goes for transferring like two times.
Right. Yeah. So you got two years left. What was your undergraduate degree in?
Economics.
Okay. So then what's your master's going to be in?
I'm trying to get into the MBA program here.
You haven't gotten in?
No, because I was late to the transfer portal, so I've just been taking classes like towards it. So when I get in, I can already have classes done.
Okay. Like, how hard? You have a Stanford degree. It shouldn't be terribly hard. Did you have to take the LSAT to get into it?
A lot of MBA programs, you need like work experience years. So that obviously I haven't worked.
And to come back?
Yeah. So
what is NIL like when you come into a market that hasn't seen you, known you?
I don't really know like what other guys at other schools, like how it works, like what the NIL is at other schools, but I mean, I think our program here does a pretty good job of trying to help dudes out and make sure people are able to capitalize on their NIL and stuff like that. So I mean, it's been pretty good. Can't really complain.
Why do you think, again, and you lived it, why do you think so many of those elite academic institutions struggle with getting their own alums to give to the collectives?
I mean, I guess every school is their own reasoning. I mean, I know some schools have where if you donate, it doesn't just go to like, say, one sports collective, it goes to a general collective. So some people are like, if I'm donating money, I want it to go to baseball, but I don't want it to go to basketball or soccer or different things like that. So I think that kind of deters people from donating sometimes to the collective. But
look, Stanford has, if you just put a pot, if you just put like income of alums, right? Stanford would kill. Northwestern would kill. Vanderbilt would kill. Notre Dame would kill. But what you get when you talk to all those coaches are like, our alums just, they don't give to the level that a lot of the state schools, the NC States, the Kansas State, they don't. I'm just wondering, having lived in that, why do you think that mentality is as it is?
Yeah, I guess also kind of how I was saying, for, I'll give an example, like my roommate, right, has a startup going, didn't go to any games. So now he leaves and makes all this money. He never was really a fan of basketball. He might feel like, why am I going to give my money to basketball when I can give it to maybe a collective for people to do startups and fund startups and stuff like that. So I feel like if you're not at a school where everyone loves those sports and supports those sports constantly, especially when they grow up and now they're away from it and not even watching or surrounded by it, then they're going to be less incentivized to, you know, donate lots of money towards that.
Is your lacrosse career over?
Man, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to be doing.
Well, let's say 2.5 years from now, like, there's Major League Lacrosse, right? Like, it's a legit thing. They're like, hey, man, how hard is it to pick up a stick and get back after it? Would it be?
I mean, playing with the pros, it'd be very difficult. But I think, I mean, I still, right now, play lacrosse every once in a while, like go out there and shoot her when I go home, train a little bit, like, and I definitely rusty, but after a while I can get it back. But going out and playing against the professionals and stuff like that definitely isn't easy. I mean, these dudes have been playing since they're 5 years old, and they were the best in college, a lot of them, and now they're the best in like in the world in a sense playing. So I don't know. I don't know how easy it'd be just to, you know, take a summer to train and then hop back out there. I mean, I'd like to have confidence in myself that I could do it, but I would have to really, really see and go train for that one.
Okay. Have you adjusted your diet to a Southern lifestyle?
Not really. I mean, I'm already pretty restricted with what I eat because I'm gluten free. So it's kind of hard to embrace like a little more of the Southern eating, the different things.
But when you show up and you say you're gluten free, they're like, oh, here we go. Dude from that was in Northern California, right?
Some of the people for sure are like looking at me like, ah, come on.
Okay. Last thing. Yeah. You mentioned at some point basketball stops bouncing.
Yep.
Your basketball stops bouncing. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
I would love to get in the finance field, finance world. It's kind of something I've always been interested in and looked into when I was growing up. And then also being surrounded by it growing up, especially going to Chaminade, I had a lot of people's like families and parents, stuff like that, were in like the Wall Street lifestyle and worked those businesses like investment banking or private equity. So that's something I've always kind of known about and been pretty interested into. I don't know exactly what I want to get into yet, but I haven't put too much focus on it. But finance has always kind of been something I've been really interested in.
So. You've never done an internship on Wall Street?
No, because I mean, it was kind of either do an internship and be gone for the summer for basketball or
hoop.
Yeah. Or hoop. And I wasn't, like I said, I'm not giving up on the hooping opportunity when I have it. So
I'm saying like 5-7 years from now, you're like, I'm done with the playing thing. You're on Wall Street, you know, living in Manhattan, right? Black suit, white shirt, black tie, right? And then eventually move back to the island, private equity, a lot of cars, a lot of houses, you know, all the things that maybe buy an NBA team. Like all these private equity guys are freaking killing it. It used to be doctors and lawyers. Now it's all private equity money. That's the plan. That's the dream.
That sounds like a pretty good plan. I mean, maybe be along that path or maybe, you know, veer off a little bit. But if that was what I was told I was going to do, I can't really complain.
All right. So like Axe Capital, you know, in the shows that you streamed, okay, give me the five favorite shows that you streamed.
My number one would definitely be the show called Peaky Blinders.
Sure.
Yeah, it's definitely my number one. Love that show. I could watch it any day of the week. I haven't had many. I'm working on Suits right now.
Okay.
I'm working on that. It's been pretty good so far. I'm not a big like series guy. If that.
So what are you a movie guy or what? What if you're not a series guy?
Yeah, I'd rather watch a movie than that. So I'm more into like I love a good like Marvel or DC movie. I just finished like the Batman trilogy again. I've watched that so many times, but
the Christopher Nolan ones, right? Not the other ones.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan for sure.
The other ones are junk. The Christopher Nolan ones are big time.
Christopher Nolan ones, I would just say big time. Not gonna put the other ones down. But.
Right. It's like you're not watching Batman and Robin. Like, oh god,
yeah.
It ended the series for like 10 years. You know what's interesting is I can watch Guardians of the Galaxy anytime and enjoy it. That's Guardians of the Galaxy 1. 2's good. 3's it's okay. I don't know. I feel like 1 is a great go-to.
Yeah, no, it's a great go-to. A lot of those movies you can just rewatch and they never get old.
Yes. And the other part to it though is I feel like, are there really people that read all these comic books that I missed on? Because like I don't know anything about any of these characters, but apparently there's this whole subculture that had the comic book thing. They're like, oh yeah, it does this. You know anybody who's actually read the comic books?
Yeah. So I had one friend in high school I can remember where he would, after the movie would first come out, he'd go watch it that night at midnight, would show up to school the next day off of like 3 hours of sleep. And he would just vent about the movie didn't line up with this guy. And then it was weird how they went this path instead of this. And I'm like, I haven't even seen the movie. So you're ruining it for me right now. But yeah, I've only known one guy who's really stuck to the T, read all the comic books, knew every character, what they were supposed to do, and like compared it to the movies.
By the way, Deadpool, I believe, is the best of any of that genre. Like that's one of my favorite movies of all time. If you are going to embody one superhero character,
yep,
only one,
yep,
who would it be?
Spider-Man, hands down. That's my guy. I love Spider-Man. I don't know. I mean, he's just always been like, wasn't big on, you know, revealing who he was. He doesn't really, he never, at the beginning he wanted the attention, but then he kind of gave up on that. And then he's always just willing to help other people and give up on, you know, his, in school, he was, you know, he wasn't doing well in school and he was one of the smartest guys, his sleep and stuff like that. He was just super, super selfless and he's just the guy. Like, I love that guy.
This is, I believe, this is not a, you're checking him out, but who's your favorite Spider-Man? This is a big thing.
Tobey Maguire. Why? Tobey Maguire. The original.
Okay.
Got to go with him, yeah.
Okay. I like that. By the way, the last one, the newest Into the Spider-Verse was awesome. Took me a while to figure it out. I was like, what am I even watching? Like, it's like a 20 minute, and I'm older, right? Like, I'm 25 years older than you. So, so a lot of this, the Spider-Verse thing, I was like, wait, what? And then once I figured it out, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I really liked it. And there's also the soundtrack is outstanding.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Well, listen, I can't wait to see it in a Wolfpack uniform. I love your story. I appreciate you joining me. And let's catch up as the season rolls on. Cool?
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you having me on today.
Man, doesn't that make you a fan of NC State, make you a fan of Michael O'Connell? Right? Just really at peace with who he is and what he's decided to do and how he's decided to do it. Consider me somebody who's going to watch the Wolfpack and root for him in playing and trying to get the pack back to the NCAA tournament. My thanks to Michael O'Connell for his time. Remember, you can listen to the Doug Gottlieb Show. It's a radio show daily, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific. Also, we have a daily podcast called In the Bonus. Whenever you download this podcast, you can find it. As in regards to this podcast, review it, subscribe, download, rate it. All those things, I think, help me make more money. If nothing else, it'll help your voice be heard. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Thanks for listening. This is All Ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.